Good morning, listeners. This week, we continue the series, Embracing Revival, Serving Christ with Excellence, by rounding off the topic, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Last week, we completed our examination of Nehemiah's epic prayer and journey with him as he faced the king with a sad countenance, taking a life-threatening risk for the cause that had motivated him to spend 4 whole months in prayer, fasting and mourning as he sought the Lord God. His prayer resulted in a response from the king that could only be described as exceedingly abundantly above all that he was able to ask or think. His requests had been bold and audacious. He had sought God in fervent and effective prayer, and he had answered in ways that exceeded Nehemiah's expectations. This must have been a mountaintop experience for him and an occasion for great thanksgiving. He did not remain long on the figurative mountain, however. Resting on his laurels, he acted with promptness. So, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me, except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate, the serpent well, and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. Nehemiah 2:11-16. In these verses, we see that Nehemiah was not just a man of passionate prayer, but a gifted leader and man of action. When he got to Jerusalem, he did his own survey. Yes, he had gotten news about the conditions from his trusted brother and others. But he wanted to see for himself, underscoring the need to get facts. After his data gathering, he engaged the people. He explained his vision, making sure to emphasize that the hand of God was upon him, as well as what the king had authorized him to do and the support provided. The people's response was heartening. "Let us rise up and build." Let us take note, though, that the king's overwhelming response had not gone unnoticed by the enemies of the Jews. We get the first hint of something brewing in Nehemiah 2 verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it. They were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Further indication of trouble is given in verse 19 to 20. "But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?' So I answered them and said, 'The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem.'" As we contemplate the focus of this series, embracing revival, serving Christ with excellence. What does the response of the enemies tell us? We are in spiritual battle. Satan is a sworn enemy of the church. He was roundly defeated at the cross. With reference to this defeat, Paul writes, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That is the cross. Colossians 2 verse 15. Christ defeated Satan, but he has not accepted defeat, and the battle rages on. Again, Paul states, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6, 10-13. The enemy would seek to disrupt, discourage, defeat, and disorganize the work of rebuilding the wall through duplicity and disunity. But Nehemiah would not fall victim to their strategies. As a leader in touch with God, hearing from him, and devoted to his cause, he would use all powers at his disposal in order to triumph. In Ephesians 6, Paul named the items of the Christian's armory. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6, 14-18. In reckoning with the enemies that he faced, Nehemiah posted guards. His people were watchful and vigilant. They worked with a sword in one hand and a tool in the other. There was one common element in his approach, and that which Paul stated, and that was prayer. It is a supporting pillar for the elements of the Christian armor. As the opposition continued in Nehemiah chapter 4, he prayed, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Nehemiah 4, verse 4 and 5. In like manner, Paul admonishes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6, verse 18. The ultimate weapon in the Christian's armory is prayer. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. It breaks down strongholds. It defeats enemies. As we face the enemies of apostasy, falling away, and lukewarmness, and the need for revival and renewal, prayer is the answer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Believers, are you praying? Really praying? If you are not as yet a Christ follower, note what the Word of God says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.